Well, before I forget, you know, I sometimes give you a little homework and then I forget to ask about it the following week. So last week, at the end of the sermon, we were talking about proclaiming Christ crucified, proclaiming God's love, not just in words, but in actions. And I was suggesting that often it's the small things that we do that might proclaim Christ crucified, and encouraged you to be looking for some of those opportunities in these past 7 days. So let me just ask, and I told you I was going to ask you this, if you had any you wanted to share. Let me just ask, did anyone have a moment when you were in a situation and realized, oh, here's an opportunity to proclaim the love of God that you might have otherwise missed, and you did it? Anyone have any moments like that you want to share? I know Presbyterians aren't used to giving testimony, so this is a little, if anyone have any moment like that where you were in a situation and realized, here's an opportunity. Yes, Georgia. Okay. Great. So it's an opportunity for you on a number of levels, then, it sounds like. Great. Good. Sure. Great. Yeah, so a different perspective after. Great. Thanks for sharing that. Anyone else want to share a moment, maybe an opportunity you had this week? It's all right if you don't. Just wanted to give you the chance if anyone had a... Very good. Well, keep looking for those opportunities this week. This morning, as we continue our journey through Paul's letter to the Corinthians, I actually want to start, though, with the psalm. I mentioned Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible, and it's all about God's law, how wonderful God's law is and how wonderful it is to follow God's law. But I really enjoy the way it starts out. Happy are those whose ways are blameless. Happy are those who follow God with their whole heart. Happy are those who do no wrong. I don't know about you, but every time I read that, I immediately think, boy, that's not me. My way is far from blameless. I don't follow God with my whole heart. I certainly do plenty that is wrong. Well, then notice how the psalm continues. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in following God's law. Oh, how I wish I were living that way. Oh, how I wish I could be happy in that way by being blameless and doing no wrong. Even the writer of the Psalms acknowledges it. God's law is wonderful, and I know it brings joy and happiness, but I'm not quite there yet. Trying, but not quite there. That's almost exactly what Paul tells the Corinthians in our passage this week. Paul has been setting up a lot of contrasts in this letter so far between, for example, division and unity in the church, between the world's wisdom and God's wisdom, the world's way and God's way. And this week, the contrast Paul is focusing on is between the spiritual person and those who are still of the flesh. And the little secret is, Paul is saying, we're all still of the flesh. We're all not quite there yet. And it's a good reminder. It's also along the lines of something we mention almost every Thursday at Bible study, particularly Duke reminds us of this, that real knowledge is knowing what you don't know. How much further you still have to go. I mean, that's part of the Christian journey, at least as I've discovered, is, you know, just when I think I have it all figured out, what I really figure out is how much further I have yet to go. And the more I know, the more I realize how little I really know and how much more there is. That's sort of what Paul is saying here. We still are full of human inclinations that keep us from being truly spiritual people. And as the psalm is sort of saying this about us as individuals, Paul is saying this about us as communities as well. And notice what Paul particularly focuses on. Now we know, and I think I mentioned in the past about Corinth and this church in Corinth, there were a lot of issues there. Paul is going to talk about immorality, sexual immorality, and the way people are being led astray by paganism and other things. But notice what Paul focuses on in today's passage. How do you know if you are still in the flesh? If you exhibit two things, jealousy and quarreling. As the great theologian John Chrysostom said many, many centuries ago, he's writing about this passage. He says, although Paul could have mentioned their fornication and licentiousness, he mentions instead this sin, which he has long been eager to correct. Now, if jealousy produces people who are of the flesh, it is time for us all to make loud lamentations, put on sackcloth, and smear ourselves with ashes. For who is unstained by this passion? Paul is saying, as he said before in this letter, as he will say elsewhere, whenever people come together, there's jealousy, there's quarreling. And this is what keeps us from being truly spiritual people together. Remember, this is Paul who will also say in another letter, it's the good that I want to do that I seem unable to do. And it's the things I don't want to do that I end up doing. Especially in churches, especially when you get other people around. I've said it before, I'll say it again. When I'm sitting all alone on my deck, I am great at loving other people. It's harder when I actually get around them. And this has been one of the problems in the church since day one. I mean, one of the great scandals of the Christian church at large is how many of God's children refuse to talk to each other or commune together. And this is why we've split into all these denominations and religions. Jealousy, quarreling. I don't want to do it that way. That's not my way. Yep. All right, we're out of here. Rolf told me a great joke last Sunday. I wish he were here because he could probably tell it better than I because I'm not good at jokes. So, but there's a guy on a desert island. He's been on a deserted island for years. And one day he's rescued. And the people from the ship rescuing him come on the island. They notice he's built three huts. And they say, "What? Why three huts?" And he says, "Well, the first one is my house." He says, "The second one is my church, and the third one is my former church." Not a new problem, these divisions. We are still of the flesh. There's still room for improvement. That's what Paul is saying. That's why we have a confession of sin every Sunday. This is one of the things I truly appreciate about the Presbyterian Church, this Calvinist tradition. It talks about sin. Now, sin is not a popular topic, especially in our modern world, you know, where everyone gets an A+, and everyone gets a trophy, and everyone gets a gold star. And that's fine. That builds self-confidence. But there's an advantage to getting a C- once in a while. It reminds you that you can do better. Or I'll tell you an Olympic story from my past, since we are in the Olympic season that ties into this, maybe. Or maybe I just feel like telling it. Every year, our elementary school, where I grew up, had its own Olympics, you know, in the spring. And they had events like, you know, the tire roll and the three-legged race and all that kind of stuff. Now, and I know this will come as a shock to you, but I wasn't much of an athlete as a kid. I was about this tall, and I liked reading books, and I wasn't athletic at all. But I remember I signed up for a few. You had to sign up for at least a few events, and they gave out ribbons from first to fifth place. And as I remember it, each of the events had six participants. That year, I think it was second grade, I was in three events, didn't get a single ribbon. But the next year when I got fifth place in the tire roll, I was pretty excited. I had improved. There's an advantage to recognizing that there's room for improvement. And that's the whole purpose of being reminded that we are still of the flesh, that we are, as Paul says, infants in Christ. Paul's saying, I can't even give you solid food of theology. I've got to give you milk because you're infants. But we're all infants in Christ. That's the real secret. We're all at a different place along our journey here together, but all of us are still just beginning. We're all infants. We're all crawling as best we can. All of us have room for improvement. See, this is a lesson in humility. Now, if you disagree with what I've just said, if you think you've got it all figured out, first of all, you can be excused. But for a special lesson in the pastor's office about humility next week. No, we all are struggling, all trying to figure it out. We're all infants in Christ. We're all still of the flesh with these human inclinations. But that's not bad news. That's good news. Good news for two reasons. First of all, God is with us. It's God who gives the growth, as Paul says. We might plant, we might water, but God gives the growth. And we all need growth, and God gives it. But the other part of this good news is to let us know there's room for improvement. You can move from sixth to fifth place. Hey, that's improvement. And I think that's the message Paul is sending to these Corinthians. Because remember, the Corinthians, there were people there who thought they had it all figured out. And Paul is reminding them, you're all infants together. I mean, this is just one big nursery school when we gather for worship. And yes, some of us do behave that way too, but we're all infants together, trying to figure it out, trying to support each other, trying to do a little bit better this week than we did last week. And that progress might be infinitesimal, but it's still progress. And that's the point. We're in this together, infants in Christ, still of the flesh, plugging along together. And eventually, we'll figure it out. Eventually, not yet, but someday. Amen.